Today's daf is Shabbos daf Tzadi Ches. Today's shiur is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and by the Bruckheimer Family Fund in Hakaras Tov to the Daf Yomi Shurim and loving memory of Hindel Basel Yaakov HaKohen. Allah Shalom, Neshama Shav and Aliyah. We thank the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding on Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis, and we are at Pshita at the two dots about 10 lines from the end of the page on Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis. I'm just going to mute everybody. The first thing we're going to discuss, if you throw something and it lands somewhere that you didn't want it to land, whether you're chayiv for throwing something in such a way where it lands in a way that would normally be far enough to be chayiv, but it wasn't where you were planning on having it land, so lo isav de machshavase, where your machshava was not fulfilled, is that going to be a violation of being mavir dalet amos perushos harabim? So then the Gemara is going to discuss, we're going to analyze the agalos in the midbar, the wagons that carried the boards of the Mishkan, in the context of talking about a Roshus HaRabim Mekora, that we're going to say that a Roshus HaRabim that has a roof over it is not a Roshus HaRabim. So the Gemara is going to question that based on the area immediately surrounding and underneath the agalos that seem to be Mekora. It does seem to have a roof over it, and yet nevertheless it is considered Roshus HaRabim. So we're going to get into the weeds a little bit, we're going to get into the details of discussing the dimensions of the agalos and how the boards fit on the agalos. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to have machlokas about the shape of each of the boards of the Mishkan, of the Krashei HaMishkan. We're going to have two different deos, and we're going to have rayas as far as who's correct. And then the second half of Amud Beis is going to discuss the size of the urios that fit over the Mishkan, the size of the curtains that went over the Mishkan, and how that fits in with each of the shitos as far as how the boards were shaped. Because obviously they're going to fit differently if that which they have to fit over is shaped differently. So the Gemara is going to go into, again, three topics. The agalos, the krashim, and the yerios. So it's all about the Mishkan and the dimensions of those different components once we get to today's daf. But first, let's finish yesterday's daf. So we're at the two dots, and the Gemara discusses what the halacha is if you throw an object and you intend for it to land in one place, but the object actually lands somewhere else. So pshita niskavin lizruk shmona v'zarek arba, it's a dover pasha that if you intend to throw something 8 amos and you instead threw it only 4 amos, meaning it landed, your arm wasn't as strong as you thought it was, you thought you were going to throw it further, but it landed only 4 amos away, hare kosav shemi shimon. That's a parallel in the malach of kosev to writing the letters shin mem out of the name Shimon. A person wanted to write the name Shimon, but he stopped after shin mem, and the Gemara is going to say in about a week from now that you're chayiv for writing those letters, even though you wanted to write more letters, you wanted to write 5 letters, because shin mem is a full word, and therefore you're going to be chayiv for those 2 letters, meaning you wanted to write Shimon, but you stopped after shin mem. But then the same is by all other Hilchos Shabbos, you do a malacha in a shir that you're chayiv for it, you're going to be chayiv even though you wanted to do it in a greater shir. The Gemara is going to say later on in Daf Kuf Gimel that the case of Shem Mishimon only fits according to Rabbi Ben Beseira, who holds that if you write in a Sefer Torah the word Shem, Shin Mem, with a Mem, Pchus Psucha, with an open Mem, the Sefer is going to be kosher anyway. Whereas if you, therefore the letters Shin Mem from the name Shimon are actually a word. But if you hold that if you write a Mem Psucha when you need a Mem Stuma, that it's going to be possible, then Shin Mem with an open Mem is in fact not a word, because you need a Mem Sofit, you need an endomem at the to end the word Shimon. So that's what the Gemara is going to say rather later on in Daf Kuf Gimel. We'll get more into that when we get there. So too over here, we're suggesting that if you throw 4 amos, it doesn't matter that you wanted it to go 8 amos, you're going to be chayiv anyway. So says the Gemara, niskavin lizrok arba vizorok shmona mahu. What if the opposite? You wanted to throw it 4 amos and you accidentally threw it too far. You're stronger than you realized. Mi aminon ha'apiklei odilma hech d'boi ha'lonach. Do we say that you were mavir dalet amos, so you fulfilled your machshava. It went 4 amos and further. Or do we say no? It did. The hanacha didn't happen where you wanted the hanacha to happen. You wanted the hanacha 8 amos away, 4 amos away rather, and the hanacha ended up happening 8 amos away. So the Gemara tries to be poshet this suffix, and in being poshet the suffix is going to be chozer on the din that we said originally. So says Gemara v'lav haynu damar le Ravina le Ravashi. Isn't this exactly like what Ravina asked Ravashi, how you could be chayav for being mavir dalet amos p'rishus rabim if you throw something in rishus yachid to rishus rabim and it goes 4 amos in rishus rabim? If you wanted it to land in the at 4 amos away, you don't want it to land right away when it gets into the rishus rabim. And if you want it to land right away when it gets into the rishus rabim, you didn't want it to land 4 amos away. So either way, you should not be chayav on being mavir like the Gemara had asked previously. Va'amar lein, Rav Ashi had responded to Ravina that you could be chayiv b'omer kol mokum shetirtza tenuach, that the case that you're going to be chayiv for both mavir and for being motzi is if you say, yeah, wherever it lands is fine by me, that you don't care which place it lands, and therefore both when it first goes outside of the rishus yachid into the rishus ram, and when it goes dalet amos away, they're both considered that your machshava was fulfilled. So you see that you're not mechayev someone who's zorek unless the hanacha happens in the place that you wanted it to happen. But if it rests somewhere else, you're not going to be chayev. So whether you intend to throw it 8 amos and you threw it 4 amos, or the reverse, you intended to throw it 4 amos and you threw it 8 amos, either way, you should not be chayev because the hanacha didn't happen where you wanted it to happen. Udukamri tarikos of Shemi Shimon. Ah, you're going to tell me that it's obvious that when you wanted to throw, the Gemara just said that it's obvious if you wanted to throw it 8 amos and you threw it 4 amos. So then it's like writing Shemi Shimon where you're going to be chayev because you did a malacha in your chayev even though you did a malacha that was less than the shear of the malacha that you wanted to do. Well, me dummy, can you really compare this to writing Shemi Shimon? Hasam kamed lo ksiv Shem lo michtav le Shimon. By writing the word Shimon, you can, as long as you didn't write the letters Shin Mem, you're unable to write the word Shimon. So you intended to write Shin Mem, and it was niskayma machshavaso when you wrote the letters Shin Mem because you intended to write 3 more letters on top of it. But what you did, you intended to do. Everything you did was a fulfillment of your intention. You didn't fulfill your every intention, but what you did was a fulfillment of your intention. You wanted to write Shin Mem, and you wrote Shin Mem. But over here, when you wanted to throw it 8 amos and you threw it 4 amos, you're going to say such an idea that if you didn't throw it 4 amos, you're not able to throw it 8 amos. Are you not able to throw an item 8 amos without it resting 4 amos in? No, you can throw an item 8 amos straight without it resting 4 amos in. So you had no kavana to have a hanacha after 4 amos, so it's not considered isav delei machshavaso. So the Gemara seems to back out entirely on even the assumption that it had, that when it's not, when your machshava was not fulfilled, then it's not considered that you did the malacha, you're therefore not going to be chayiv. Okay, so now the Gemara discusses, what if you throw from Rishus Ram to another Rishus Ram with a Rishus Yachid in the middle, and so we know that we had the discussion, klut kamisha huncha, are you going to be chayiv for being motzi and being mach? But what about if it travels a total of 4 amos in the Rishuyos HaRabim? So that, the Gemara says, Tan Rabban, we have a Braisa. Hazorik mi Rishus Ram, Rishus Ram, Rishus Yachid Bamsa, 4 amos, and it travels 4 amos in the Rishuyos HaRabim, between the two of them, Chayiv. Then you're going to be Chayiv for being Mavir Dalet Amos per Rishus HaRabim as well. Pachos me 4 amos pater, but if you throw less than 4 amos, if it travels less than 4 amos in Rishus Rabim, you're not going to be chayiv. The fact that it went from Rishus Rabim to Rishus Yachid and from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rabim, you're also not chayiv for Hotza or Achnasa, because we're assuming right now that we do not say Kluto Kamish Unchadamya. So you threw it from a Rishus Rabim to another Rishus Rabim. The Akira and the Anach happened in the Rishus Rabim, and therefore the only thing you could be chayiv for is being Maver Dalet. But that's only if it actually travels 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah. But if it doesn't travel a total of 4 amos in the two Rishuyos HaRabim, you are not Mavir Dalet Amos in Rosh Hashanah. So says my Kamashvalan, what's the big Chiddush over here? Obviously, if it goes 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah, you're Chayiv for being Mavir Dalet Amos in Rosh Hashanah. If it doesn't go 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah, you're not Chayiv. What's the Chiddush? So ha Kamashvalan, Rishuyos Mitzdarfos. The Chiddush is that it only traveled 2 amos in Rosh Hashanah A, and another 2 amos in Rosh Hashanah B, that was on the other side of the Rishus HaYachid. Ooh, so we're mitzarif those two Rishios with each other. The way Rashi explains it over here, that these Rishios mitzarfos, that the Chiddush is that we don't say like the Shita of Rabbi Yossi that we had back on Daf Pei, where Rabbi Yossi said that if you carry a Chatzi Shir, and then you go back and carry another Chatzi Shir, Behelem Echad, that you're going to be Chayiv only if you carry them to the same Rishus. But if you carry two Chatzi Shirs to two different Rishios HaRabim, you're not going to be Chayiv. So you're going to be Potter in such a case. So Rabbi Yossi held the two Rishios are not Mitztarif with each other. Oh, but over here we're suggesting that the two Rishios are mitzarif with each other as far as the distance of Dalet Amos. That's what Rashi says, that the Chiddush to say that Rishios mitzarfos is to say that we don't hold like Rabbi Yossi, and then an additional Chiddush of Dula Amrin and Klutuk HaMashu Uncha. And clearly we're also saying that we don't hold of Klutuk HaMashu Uncha, because if we did hold of Klutuk HaMashu Uncha, you'd be chayiv on the Hachnasa and the Hutsa'a as well, and carrying it from the Rishios HaRabim to the Rishios HaYachid, that was Be'emtza as well. So obviously the Brice is assuming that we don't say Klutuk HaMashu Uncha. Now the Rashba is not 100% convinced that Rashi's interpretation is correct, that the Gemara is dafka trying to tell us not to say like Rabbi Yossi, and that that's the entirety of the Chiddush over here. Because why would the Gemara ask my Kamashmalan? It's Pasha that according to Rabbi Yossi, Rishios are not mitzarfos, so therefore it's Pasha that you have a Chiddush over here. What kind of question, my Kamashmalan? We're going against the Shita of a major Tana that said that Rishios are not mitzarfos, and we're saying Rishios are mitzarfos. So the Rashba explains differently, that this din of the Brisa has nothing to do with Rabbi Yossi. It's not at all comparable to the case of Rabbi Yossi. Because over there, Rabbi Yossi said that Rishios are not mitzarfos because you did two separate actions. But over here, it's a zrika achas. It's one act of throwing. Rabbi Yossi might be moda that Rishios are mitzarfos to be mechayiv a person in such a case. So that's why the Gemara had a kasha, my kamash mulan. And the chiddush is that the Rishios mitzarfos, and that even Rabbi Yossi would be moda that in our case, Rishios mitzarfos. Not that we're going against Rabbi Yossi, because that in fact would be a very great Chiddush. So that's how the Rashba understands a little bit differently than Rashi. Okay, that's as far as being Zorik. Now the Gemara discusses a Rishus HaRabim Mekora. If a Rishus HaRabim has a roof over it, does it have the status of a Rishus HaRabim? So Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Hamavir Abba Amos for Rishus HaRabim Mekora. If a person carries four Amos in Rishus HaRabim that has a roof over it, Potter. Lefishein Adoma, the Digle Midbar, because that's not similar to the Machne Yisrael that was in the Midbar, that their Rishus HaRabim didn't have a roof over it. And all the dinim of Hotzah to Rishus HaRabim are derived from the Machne Yisrael in the Midbar, just like every Malacha is derived from what was done by the Mishkan in the Midbar. So says Mara Eini, is that really so? Vaha Agolos to Makaros Havian. You're making an assumption that the Rishus HaRabim in the Midbar did not have a roof over it. Is that really true? The wagons that carried the boards of the Mishkan in the Midbar that had that were covered with the boards that were arranged on the wagons. Va'amar Rav Mishum Rabbi Chia Agolos Tachtehen Ubeinehen Vitzidehen Rishus HaRabim, that underneath the Agolos, the space underneath the Agolos, in between the Agolos, and on the space on the sides of the Agolos by the wheels, in between the wheels, all of those spaces have a status of Rishus HaRabim. So you see that Rav holds that even a place that's roofed over is considered Rishus HaRabim. So it's a stira in Rav. How can Rav on the one hand tell me it was Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, that it was Rav that originally said that a Rishus HaRabim Makora is not a Rishus HaRabim, but Rav is one that told us that the space within the wagons or between the wagons, under the wagons, which all have roofs over them, is considered to be a Rishus HaRabim. So it's a stira. Answers more, no, ki kamarav bidra asa, that when Rav says that the area under the Agolos is considered Rishus HaRabim, he's talking about the space between the boards of Krushim and each other, that the Krushim were not placed along the entire length of the Agala. They would put rows of Krushim arranged on the Agolos, one on top of the other, and they would leave space between the two piles of Krushim that were on the Agolos. So they would pile up a pile of boards on one side of the wagon, and then they leave some space and another pile of boards. We'll see in the ensuing discussion how many piles of boards there were, but there were several piles of boards, and in between them there was airspace. So that airspace did not have any roof over it, and that's what we said has the status of a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, because that which is under that airspace is a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So says the Gemara Michti. Let's take a look at how this worked out. Orka da Agla Kama Havai. What was the length of the agala, of the wagon itself? Chamesh amin. The length of the wagon was 5 amos. Pusya de Keresh Kama Havai. The width of each board was how much? So now we're going to go into some geometry over here. So Amsa Upalga. It was 1.5 amos. So Kama Mosiv. How many boards that are 1.5 amos wide can fit in a 5 amos space? Okay, that's easy. Telasa, you can fit 3, because 3 times 1.5 is 4.5. And then not only that, you then have extra pashle palgadamsa. You have a half an amma of spare room that's on the wagons that's not being taken up by the boards. Okay, kishadi lemar beni. If you were to take that half of amma, that half an amma, and split it between the two gaps, because if you have 3 piles of boards and you have a gap between the piles, you have 2 gaps between 1 and 2 and between 2 and 3, so if both gaps in total together make up a half an amma, so it turns out that the space between each of the boards is only a quarter of an amma. How much is a quarter of an amma? 1.5 tfachim klavadami. That has a status of lavad. That's as if it's completely closed in, and therefore underneath the agalos is completely roofed, because a roof that has a gap of 1.5 tfachim is considered to be completely closed in. That's the din of lavud. So misavir krusa, says the Gemara, no, that we're getting it all wrong. Misavir krushim apusai, you have a manachlu, achudan manachlu. You think the krushim were arranged resting on their width that was 1.5 amos? No, they were resting on their edges. They were arranged on their edges, which is only 1 amma of width. So if you have 3 rows of krushim, that takes up 3 amos, and if you have 2 gaps in between them, each gap is a full amma. Oh, if each gap is a full amma, that means it's more than 3 tfachim, and therefore it's not going to be lavud. So the space underneath those gaps is in fact going to be a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim that is Eino Makura, that does not have a roof over it. So says Mar Sof, Sumcha Dekarish Kamahavi, Amsa, Kamav Amosiv Arba. Well, wait a second. If they were resting it along the way, the board along the 1 amma side of the board, why would they only put 3 boards on each wagon? The wagons were 5 amos. So instead, you're not going to pile 5 rows of boards, because that would be very, very tight. But 4, you would put 4 rows of boards. So if you have 4 rows of boards that each take up an amma, and then the remaining amma makes up the gaps between the boards, the 3 gaps between the boards. So then, Sumcha Dekarish Kamahavi Amsa, Kamav Amosiv Arba'a, you would have 4 rows of boards along the 5 amos of the wagon, Pashala Amsa, which leaves you with 1 more amma, Kishadi Lamar, Beni Beni. When you divide up that amma to the 3 spaces between the 4 rows of boards, it turns out that there are only 2 tfachim left for each space between the boards, because each amma is 6 tfachim. So if you take 6 tfachim and divide it into 3 different spaces, it's only 2 tfachim for each space. So kalavadami, that also is lavud. So again, you're back to our original question: whether they arrange the boards on their width or whether they arrange them on their edge, either way, the gap in between the boards was less than 3 tfachim, and if the gap in between the boards was less than 3 tfachim, the area underneath them is totally roofed in. It's totally roofed, because you have lavud. You don't have any space that's larger, that you don't have any gap that's larger than 3 tfachim. So the Gemara says, okay, now let's finish up the kasha. Ha nichalamandi amakrushin milamatan ovyanam milamalan kolin volchanad ketzba. We're going to have a machlokas on Amud Beis that we're going to see that what exactly was the shape of the krushim of the Mishkan. Was it that it was exactly squared off? It was a perfect rectangle, and therefore it was 1 amma, that all the way from top to bottom was 1 amma, Or did it taper off as it got to the top? That it was a one-arm block at the bottom, but then it sort of went up on an angle and it tapered off to an etzba at the top. So says the Gemara, I understand that you're telling me that the area underneath the wagons might have a gap of more than 3 tefachim if you hold that the boards were tapered off. That it was that milamatan, it was ovinama. At the bottom, it was 1 arm wide. But milamalan kolin v'holchanad ketzba. But as you went to the top of the board, it tapered off to the width of just an etzba. An etzba is the width of your thumb. So Shapir, then I understand very well that between the boards of the Mishkan that were resting on the wagons, you're going to have a gap of more than 3 tefachim in between them, because the tapered parts of the board were right next to each other also, and those are only an etzba wide, so that's going to leave a much larger gap. But if you hold, but if you hold that it was 1 amma at the bottom and 1 amma at the top, that the width remained constant throughout from the top to the bottom, so then we're back to our question that we had, that you don't have a space of 3 tefachim, and therefore l'chora you have a stira in Shitas Rav. Is a the area underneath the wagons, is it a Rishus Rabim like Rav taught, or is it like Rav said that no, anything that's Makora, anything that has a roof over it, cannot possibly be a Rishus Rabim? So Amar of Kahana Be'at Ba'i, that the row of the boards that were on the wagon were not placed were not placed with a separation between them. Meaning, you are correct that there were 4 rows; they were placed on their edges, so there are 4 amos that were taken up by the boards themselves. But why would you assume that because you're placing 4 rows of boards that you're spacing them exactly the same between each one? No, you want to have some structural integrity to these piles of boards so that they don't fall over. So the best way to do that is by clumping them together. So what they would actually do is take 2 rows of boards and put them right up against each other, put them exactly up against each other where there's no space between them, then put a space and have another 2 rows of boards that are also directly up against each other with no space between them, which leaves 1 gap between the 2 rows on this side, the 2 rows on the other side. So if the 2 rows on this side are 2 amos, the 2 rows on the other side are 2 amos, and there's only 1 gap between them, and that gap is 1 amma, 1 amma is more than lavud. So now you have an area that's more than lavud that is not roofed, and now you can understand why Rav is going to say that the area underneath the wagon, or at least underneath the part that's not, doesn't have a roof, is 1 amma. So I just see some popped up on my screen. Doesn't Rishus Harabim have to be 16 amos wide? Yeah, this is part of a Rishus Harabim that's 16 amos wide, but this is also part of the Rishus Harabim. This doesn't make up the entirety of the Rishus Harabim. So says Rav, but each of the rows of boards that were tightly packed together, where were they? Agab da agla, but they were on top of a wagon. So it says Gemara, agal gufa mekoravai, but the wagon itself had a floor to it. If you have a wagon that you want to put stuff in, you want to put dirt in there and rocks or whatever you want to bring on a construction site from one place to the other. You have one of those wagons, you're putting cement in it or whatever. So it has to have a floor, otherwise whatever you put in the wagon is going to fall through, unless the wagon is only made for these long boards where the wagon doesn't need a floor, it just needs a basic frame. So Amar Shmuel b'Yesedos. So the Gemara says they didn't have a floor because these wagons were made for moving the Mishkan. So if they were made for moving the Mishkan, then they obviously didn't need to have a floor to these wagons. Now Tosfos raises a question that we said, if it's tapered at the end, if you hold like the Shita that each board is tapered at the end, then we don't have a Kasha, because then we didn't even have a Kasha to begin with, because then we fully understand that you're going to have a gap of larger than 3 tefachim in between. So that's Tosfos Kasha. How do you know that for sure? Maybe if they're tapered at the end, what would be the smartest way to pack something when each one is at like at a right angle, and then it makes a right triangle, right? That's tapered, that where it gets tapered toward the top. The best way to pack it is have the top of one board next to the bottom of the other board, and then they'll pack together perfectly tightly, right? And then there will be no no space between them. So asks Tosfos, how do you know that they didn't do that? Just because maybe the Chudosh Shel Zeh was connected to Avyo Shel Zeh, and in that way they were able to pack it in very tightly, and there was no gap between the boards. So how do we know they didn't do that? So Tosfos gives three terutzim. Number one, he quotes Rav Poras that it would be a Gnai to put the wide side of one board next to the narrow side of the other board, because the wide side of the board is the part that was on the karka. The narrow side was the part that was higher up in the Mishkan, and that would be a Gnai, because the part that had the Urios that were actually resting on it, were supporting the weight of the Urios, apparently was more Chashuv, so it shouldn't be right next to the part that had the width of the board which went on the ground. He could then quote the B'Shem Rabbeinu Tam, that was a Tircha, it would have been a huge Tircha to do that, to flip around all of the boards. As they were dismantling it, they just needed to load it onto the wagons without having to then flip it around and make it fit exactly right. So they wouldn't have gone through such a tircha. The third possibility, he quotes from the name of Rabbeinu Yitzchak, that only from the tapering only started halfway up the board. So it wouldn't have fit, meaning it wouldn't have fit neatly right up against each other, because halfway up the board it stayed a solid amma. And then only on the top half of the board did it start to taper till it got to an etzpa milamayla. So the way we're picturing how it would fit, in fact, would not fit, meaning it would not fit neatly in with each other. It is interesting that first answer of Tosfos, though, that Tosfos suggests that it would be inappropriate to take a board, the part of the board that's on the higher part that goes on the top of the Mishkan, and put it next to the part of the board of another board that's on the bottom part of the Mishkan. This is similar to the Yerushalmi in the 12th parak of Shabbos. The Yerushalmi writes, "Vakimoses a Mishkan kimishpato," that the Mishkan had to be erected kimishpato. V'chiyesh mishpat le'etzim, the Yerushalmi says, "What is there a mishpat to how you arrange wood?" Ele'eze keres zachli nasim b'tzafon, yinasim b'tzafon b'darom, yinasim b'darom. That whatever board was always placed in the north should always be placed in the north. Whatever board was normally placed in the south when the Mishkan was put up should always be in the south. So that's what the Yerushalmi tells us, that we were makbid on keeping the boards where they were, because we want to keep them in their original status of Kedusha, where they belong. This is not only by the Krashim. The Meshech Chachma quotes the Yerushalmi and says that since the Tzad Tzafon was more Kadosh than the Tzad Darom, so the Adonim that were in the Tzafon had to remain in the Tzafon as well. So you can't change them to the Darom either, because you're not allowed to be morid from a Kedusha Chamura to a Kedusha Kala, the Meshech Chachma says. Why is the Tzafon more Kadosh? Because the Shechitas Kachay Kachim happens in the Tzafon, as opposed to Kachim Kalim could be B'chol Mokom in the Azara. So that's why it's more Kadosh. Now the Magen Avram in Hilchos Tzitzis has a great chiddush based on this. Says the Magen Avram, V'nagu lasos hatara mechatichas meshi l'simin shosan tzitzis shalafanav shiu li'olam lefanav, that there's a minhag that people put an atara out of a piece of cloth. It later became, people started doing it out of silver, but initially just a piece of cloth to mark what the top of your talus is, so that these tzitzis that are in front of you should always remain in front of you. Kimosha Kosov, Keresh, Zachli, Nasin Betzafon, Liyala Betzafon, like the Shalak Hadash quotes, like this Yerushalmi, the Kosov Bixavim Ha'ri, Lohaya Makbid Belevisha Satalis Losim Tamid Al Tzadachot Kimosha Nogin Harbe. But the Arizal was not Makbid about this at all. And in the Girsan Ari was Lohaya Makbid Losim Tamid Tzadachot Arosh Kimosha Nogin Harbe, that he wouldn't put one side on his head. He would flip around the talus. It didn't bother him. And some, so that's the minhag of the Arizal. So the makar of the Magen Avraham is of course the Shlach Kadosh, which lechora is based in the Yerushalmi. The Maril in Hilchos Sukkah says that he saw that his Rebbe, the Marash, would also mark off the boards of the Sukkah to make sure that whichever board was on one side of the Sukkah should remain on the other side of the Sukkah. Now this is a fascinating topic, and these things seem very different from each other, right? The ends of the tzitzis and the boards of the Sukkah seem very different than the Krashei HaMishkan. The Krashei HaMishkan, you understand, that's there's greater greater Kedusha in the north than there is in the south. There may be even greater Kedusha on the top that supports, like we're saying over here, in the top that supports the Arios than the bottom. But the Sukkah, which side of the Sukkah is the holy side? I mean, the Chora, they're all equally holy. So I wrote about this in my first Sefer in Siman Beis, but we don't have time to go into the whole Sugya right now as to where the idea of an Atara comes from and why it is that the Arizal was not makbir on that idea of an Atara on top of a talus. Okay, says Gemara Vayta. Now we're going to get to that machlokas that we mentioned on Amud Aleph in terms of what was the shape of the boards of the Mishkan. So Tana Rabbanan, Krasha Milamatan Ovyon Amma Umilamalan Kolin Vaholchin Adke Etzpa, that the Krasham on the bottom were one Amma wide, but then it tapered off to one Etzpa. Oh, someone asked what the name of my sefer is. Hakona Olamo. Okay, Hakona Olamo. So get some advertising here. So the boards were one amma wide at the bottom, but they tapered off to an etzba at the top. Shenamar, because the pasuk says by the Krashe Mishkan, you samim al rosho ulalanu omer, and when it describes the splitting of the Yarden by in the days of Yoshua when we crossed the Yarden, it says tamu nichrasu. So tamu over there means that it stopped, that the flow of the Yarden stopped, it didn't continue, so that we were able to travel through. So over here also, tamim means that it tapers off at the top, that it narrows till it's only the size of an etzba. The Balei HaTosfos in the commentary Ala Torah in Shmos Perek Chavav says that according to this, after the Amma of the Adonim, it would already begin to taper off. They say that the Shipua was only on the outer side of the Keresh, but on the inner side of the Keresh, it would remain straight. It was a straight line, because if it was Meshupa on the inner side as well, then the Chalal of the Mishkan on the top would have been more than 10 Amos. Meaning, we're going to see soon, when we do the Cheshbonos, we're assuming that the open space of the Mishkan, even on top, was only 10 Amos. But if it tapered on both sides, and even on the inner part of the boards, it tapered, so then it would have left a wider area than 10 Amos at the top. So we have to say that the inner part of the boards went straight up. They were situated 10 Amos apart from each other on the bottom, and they went straight up. And the outer part of the boards, that's what tapered in to the point where it got to the width of an etzba. So that's what the Balei HaTosfos point out. So that's the Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda's shita that they tapered. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, K'shem Shalmatan Ovin Amma, Kach Milamalan Ovyon Amma. That just like there were one Amma wide at the bottom, so too on the top there were one Amma wide. Shenemar Yachtov, because the pasuk says Yachtov, it sounds like that they were perfectly even and that they didn't change in their dimensions. Vaksiv Tamim, aye, but what do you do with the pasuk that says Tamim, which we associated with the word Tamim, that when it comes to the Yarden, where we assume that that means that it was that it had tapered off. So who delesu shleimim v'lo lesu dinisra? No, that just means that the boards of the Mishkan had to be solid wood and they couldn't be pressed wood. You know, when you buy furniture, so if you buy pressed wood, it's much cheaper, much heavier, and much lower quality. So the boards of the Mishkan had to be high quality, solid wood. They couldn't be made out of pressed wood, just pieces of wood that were pressed together. V'idoch nami, and that's what tamim means. Tamim doesn't mean tapered or stopped. It means complete. It means whole. V'idoch nami, and the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, haksiv yachtov. What does Rabbi Yehuda do with the word yachtov? Rabbi Yehuda says that it tapered off, but doesn't yachtov mean that it was a consistent, solid dimension? That just means that you can't have the boards of the Mishkan going one in and one out. They have to be perfectly arranged evenly with the width of one keresh directly next to the width of the other keresh. You couldn't get creative in the way that you arrange them. So Bishlam l'man diyamar k'shem shalamata novin amma kach milamal novin amma. I understand very well if you say that it was an amma solid from bottom to top. So then I understand very well that haynu d'chsev, that's what the pasuk means when it says liyarkseh mishkan yama tasa shisha krashim ushne krashim tasa limakutz os, that they made six boards on the western wall of the Mishkan and another two boards for the corners on the of the western wall, one for the northwestern corner and one for the southwestern corner. Then the width of those two boards that were in the corners would fill in the width of the southern wall and the width of the northern wall. El leman diamar, but if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda says milamata novinamul milamalan kolin v'holchanat ke'etzba, that it was an amma at the bottom and then it narrowed out at the top to the point that it was only an etzba. Hi It wouldn't come to a perfect right angle at the edges when you came to the corners. So at the bottom it might come to a perfect right angle, but at the top you're going to end up with a gap because the boards are going in different directions. They're tapering at the top. So says Gemara. The Gemara answers d'shafi luhu kiturin, that they would arrange the boards in a way that they were slanted like mountains, that those boards that were at the corners of the western side of the Mishkan were slanted, even not only in their width, but not only in their thickness, but also in their width, and therefore they would come in equally with the northern and southern walls, and they didn't protrude outside of the northern and southern walls. If you have a picture, this is much, much easier to understand, but a little bit harder to understand without a picture. I'm not really sure how to say it in words, but that's how they would arrange it, in such a way where they would butt up against each other. So says the Gemara, Habriach HaTichon B'toch HaKrashim. The pasuk describes that they had a Briach HaTichon. They had a middle bar that held the Krashim together. Meaning, how were the Krashim held together? So there were three bars at different heights that held all the boards of the Mishkan together. The top bar and the bottom bar had rings on the outside of the Krashim that the bar went through the rings to hold them together. So the bars were actually outside of the Mishkan. They were not in the walls. They were outside of the walls of the Mishkan, going through these rings. Now the top bar and the bottom bar were not one solid bar. It was two bars, and then one would go halfway and the other would go the other half of the way. So between the top and the bottom you had four bars, and then the middle bar, the Briach HaTichon, that held the Mishkan together, actually there was a hole that was drilled into the middle of each keresh, in the middle of each board, and it went right through the holes that were in the middle of each board in order to hold the Mishkan together. So Briach HaTichon b'toch HaKrashim, the Briach HaTichon was in the width of the Krashim. So Tana b'neis ha'yomit, so the Tana teaches us that stood b'neis, because if it went through the Krashim, there were three walls, so you would stick this long pole in, and somehow the pole would take a turn and would go along the other wall, and then take another turn and go along the other wall in order to fill in all of the walls. That's a miracle, that the pole that you're sticking in would be able to do that. So says the Gemara, that's the assumption. Of course, Tosos over here says that not everyone agrees with that. Tosos points out, Omri, Dahacha Dekamer Shabriach HaTichoni Mesaviv Gimel Ruchos, Pliga Braisa, the Melech Samishkan. There's a Braisa by Melech Samishkan. Dahasum Amr Shalo Haya Neis, Elohayu Sham Chamisha, Shnaim Lemaila, the Echon Maskel Mitchila Sarah Chamishkan Ad Chetio, Vasheni Maskel Misham Ve'elech Ad Sof Haruach. We're understanding when we say that there was one Briach HaTichon, our Gemara is understanding that means one Briach HaTichon for all three walls, and therefore it had to take a turn in order to get through all three walls. Nah, says Tosos, the Braisa tells us there were one Briach HaTichon means for each wall, as opposed to the other poles, the top pole and the bottom pole, where there were two of them, but each wall had only one Briach HaTichon. So our Gemara is clearly against that. So says Gemara, Vesa Mishkan Tasa Eser Yerios. There were 10 Yerios to cover the Mishkan, 10 curtains. So Orach Yeria Achashmona Ve'esrim Ba'ama, and the width of each Yeria was 4 Amos. So each Yeria was 28 Amos by 4 Amos. And there were 10 of them. So when you put the 4 Amos wide Yerios next to each other and you linked them all together, it made 40 Amos of width and still 28 Amos of length. So Shad Yerkailu Pusyu de Mishkan. So the length of the 28 Amos is going to go over the width of the Mishkan. So Kama Havya Esrin Utmani. So how much did you have to start with? It was 28 Amos. Dal Esrin the Igra. The open gap on the top of the Mishkan was 10 Amos. Right? So now the overhang on each side is going to be a total of 18 Amos. 9 Amos on each side. So Pashal Utesha Laigisa Vitesha Laigisa. So you can have 9 on each side. Li Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the Krashim were tapered. Megal Yamada Adonim. It would go down 9 Amos on each side, and the only part that would be exposed was the one amma of the Adonim on the bottom, because the Adonim were one amma, and then nine amos of just board, of just crushim. So you'd cover the entire nine amos of just board with the curtains, and there was just one amma exposed of the Adonim. And the Rabbi Nechemia, Megalia amma de crushim. And according to Rabbi Nechemia, not only did you expose the bottom amma of the Adonim, but there was another amma on top of that that was exposed, because according to Rabbi Nechemia, the boards were solid on the top. So not only did the curtain have to cover the 10 amma gap between the boards, it also had to cover the 1 amma width on either side that the boards still had. They were solid amma on the top. So now, how much was left to go down on each side? Only 8 amos on each side. And therefore, you not only had exposed the adonim on the bottom, you also exposed 1 amma of each keresh on the bottom. So, shadi pusayu la'orka de mishkan. Then you take the width of these curtains, and you run it across the length of the Mishkan, Kamahavya, our button. So it started with 40. So Dal Tlas and the Igra, 30 Amos were the length of the Mishkan itself, of the top of the Mishkan. So Pashalu Eser, you only had 10 Amos extra to go down on the western side to cover the western wall of the Mishkan. So the Rabbi Yehuda, Mekasya Amada Adonim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it would cover the Amma of the Adonim. The Rabbi Nechemia, Megalya Amyada Adonim. Since it had that extra Amma that it had to cover on the top of the board, so there was still one amma of the adonim on the bottom that remained exposed. Vasisi rios izim lowel. Then they made another curtain made out of izim, orech iria achas shloshim ba'amma, and it was and the rochav was arba amma, so it was 30 amos by 4 amos, and they made 11 of them, which led you with shadir kai, which led you with 30 by 44. So shadir kai lepusya de mishkan, the length of 30 amos went across the width of the mishkan. So kamahavya, how much was that? Lesson. That's 30 amos. Dal eser liigra. Take away 10 for the roof. Pashalu eser lahaygisa vesel haygisa. So the overhang on each side was 10 amos. So the Rabbi Yehuda mekasya amada adonim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, covered all the way down, including the adonim. The Rabbi Nechemia mekal yamada adonim. This curtain actually left the amma of the adonim exposed because it had to cover the amma of width on the top. Tani namiachi v'amma mizeh ba'odef lechasos amma shel adonim. Div Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemia amr lechasos amma shel krashim. It's explicit that's the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemia, how much of the boards, if it covered the entirety of the boards, or left an amma, or how much of the sides did it expose the adonim or not at all. So shadi pusay lo orka de mishkan, then you would take the width, which was now 44 amos, and you'd run it across the length of the mishkan, kamahavya arbaim va'arba, but dal tosin le'igra, take the 44 amos, 30 of it is used on just the length of the mishkan, pashlu arbasrei, you have 14 left, darta, and it only went overhanged on one side because you needed to get into the Mishkan. Dal tarti lekafla, so you take 2 amos away for the part that was hanging down on the eastern side. It didn't totally expose the eastern side. It had 2 amos that hung down on the eastern side. D'chziv v'chafalta esiria shishas el mul pnei oel. So pashlu tarti sreis. So now on the western side that it actually covered, there were 12 amos to hang down. So bishlam Rabbi Yehuda d'chziv haynu d'chziv chati aria odefes tisrach. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it makes a lot of sense because the pasuk says that there was a half of the width of a curtain that was like running behind, that was actually on the floor. So half of the width of a curtain is 2 amos. That's exactly how much you have left. El Rabbi Nechemia, my tisrach. But according to Rabbi Nechemia, you wouldn't have had a half of a width because you still needed to use 1 amma to cover the width of the beam of the boards on the top. So it would only been a 1 amma runner at the bottom. So says Gemara, tisrach mechavroseh. You're right. Yeah, it's only 1 amma runner at the bottom, but it's 2 amos beyond the other urea. The Mishkan had this curtain that was dangling behind it, that was like a kala's dress that drags on the floor as she walks around. That's what the mothers have to make sure she doesn't mummify the chasen as she walks around him. Right? They hold the end of the dress. That's how the Mishkan was. It was like such a dress that had something running on the floor behind it. Okay, we'll stop there. Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow Shabbos. Although I don't have a recording of tomorrow's daf from previous cycles, maybe I'll do it after Shabbos. Anyone want to do a shiur after Shabbos?